You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Green Desk is back, our regular segment bringing you all the latest green-related news. I will now pass you on to Francis, who does our segment on called The Green Desk. Here she is now.
Kia ora koutou katoa, ko Francis toko ingoa. Mau mai haere mai, and welcome back to The Green Desk. My name is Francis, and I will be sitting behind this metaphorically green desk for the foreseeable future. I'll be endeavouring to bring you weekly content on green issues while I attempt to avoid greenwashing you and being greenwashed myself. Our changing planet is the most pressing issue of our time, and our role as humans both now and in the years to come is vital. Green issues spread far and wide, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of some of those in the coming weeks, but for many of us here in Aotearoa, they become front of mind when we are out in the backyard in the beautiful taonga that is our native Ngahere, or our forest. Last week, Predator Free 2050 announced its funding from the government's Jobs for Nature Mahi Mō Te Taiao program. The funding will see $4.8 million go into developing predator eradication tools of 7 companies and also developing best practice policies for their use. The funding is being invested through the Products to Projects initiative. This was launched back in 2019 to accelerate development and commercialization of new tools that will help groups working to achieve mainland eradication of possums, rats, and mustelids. To kick off Green Desk this week, I caught up with Professor Dan Tompkins. He's the science director for Predator Free 2050, and I asked him about some of this new tech and what it might mean for reaching that goal of a predator-free New Zealand by 2050. Here we are now.
Could you begin by explaining to me what the Products to Projects initiative is?
What this is, sure. So I'm Dan Tompkins. I'm the science director at Predator Free 2050. And we do a lot of science and research to work out better ways of getting biodiversity protection done. But at the end of the day, if we can't get those findings and new technologies translated into things that people can use on the ground for better predator control, then why bother doing it? And so Products to Projects is a mechanism by which we can get the latest findings and technology out of the lab, out of the research, into tools that people can use on the ground for predator-free.
And I think you assess somewhere around 60 companies or initiatives for this scheme. And I understand the funding is allowing the development of about 7 new technologies. How on earth did you decide on those 7, and what was that process like?
Yeah, it's not easy. So we've done this twice now. We started back in 2019 and we had about 100 applications back then. And then we had almost as many this time around. I can't remember the exact number. And we have a panel. So we have a panel of experts to make sure it's a nice, fair, balanced panel. Everyone has to assess all of the applications with regards to, you know, what benefits will they bring? How will they help us do our job of conservation better? And then rank them. And then we can only fund what we can fund, which is always quite hard, because there's always more that you want to fund than you can at the end of the day. But yep, you just have to try and decide on what are the best things to go for. Also bearing in mind chance of success and availability to market as well, because we want things coming out now to start helping.
And what is the biggest predator problem that you're looking to combat when you're investing in these technologies?
It depends who you ask sometimes as well. So the Predator Free 2050 mission, it's all about possums, rats and mustelids, which are like stoats and ferrets. You know, we need better tools for all of them. They all do their own bit. They all do their own damage to biodiversity. Possums also carry bovine TB, which impacts our farms in New Zealand. They've all got their challenges, and we can do with being better at controlling all of them. And so we do tend to have a range of tools across, you know, both possums and rats and stoats as well. Many of them are for different places, and so trying to do a better job of controlling rats, for example, in urban centres, but also thinking about for all species in the bush, in the backcountry, what sort of remote devices can we start to use to get them under better control as well.
And can we talk a little bit about some of the technologies that are working to do that? There's quite a few to get through, so we'll just pick a few.
Sure.
I was quite interested firstly in this AI thermal imaging technology. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So we're seeing a few applications of artificial intelligence now in conservation tools. And it is generally at the moment linked to recognition of certain species based on visual cues, be it through normal still camera photos from a camera trap, or these days more and more using thermal cameras that are video cameras detecting thermal range and wavelengths. And so there's a range of applications. You can apply AI to just these camera trap stills, or you can have AI running actually on thermal cameras deployed in the field that are in real time identifying what they're seeing. And if, for example, they see what looks like a rat or a stoat or a possum, they can then communicate that back to you. So you don't need to go out to the camera to retrieve like a card or something. In some of the setups now, we're even using some of the new swarm satellite networks that are being put up in the sky at the moment, very cheap backcountry communications. In one part of New Zealand, in South Westland, we've got over 200 thermal cameras out operating on the ground with this onboard AI that's telling you what they've seen, and they're all communicating back via this network of swarm satellites. So you can help keep track of where you think you've got rid of all the predators. Have you really got rid of them all? Can you find the last ones? And keeping a check on reinvading individuals as well. So it's becoming a really powerful tool.
And you're really able to get down to the real eradication of those species.
Yeah, that is the hard bit. We're really good at getting rid of most of them, but getting rid of the final few and knowing that you've got rid of the final few and then preventing reinvasion is the real challenge. And so a lot of what we fund in are tools to allow the more remote, autonomous surveillance and control so that there's less people time involved. Because as we start to scale up the kinds of eradication that we're doing over large landscape areas, the limiting factor quickly becomes, you know, cost of people and people's time. And so the more we can automate a lot of this, the better.
Can we talk next about what's this called, Rat Spitfire? Now, I want to talk about it just because I think the name is completely awesome. But I also had a bit of an investigation into the technology, which looks quite fascinating. Yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so the first thing is it doesn't fly, okay? It's called a Spitfire, doesn't fly. It's a device for giving toxin to individual pests. And so a lot of the concern with toxin use for pest control is actually it being eaten by, you know, non-target species, whether it's dogs or deer or native birds. And so the Spitfire is a device. It's still using toxin, but it's making sure only the predator species being targeted is actually getting a dose of the toxin. And the way it happens is that there's triggers, and the design is different depending on whether you're thinking about possums and rats and stoats. But basically, it's designed so that only the target predator gets a squirt of toxin onto its abdomen, which it then grooms off and kills the individual. And then it goes no further. And so compared to having, you know, bait stations out or even doing aerial toxin, it's a far more precise way of making sure you're just getting what you want to get and nothing else. Yeah, these will be coming online for possums, stoats, and rats over time.
And that specificity in mitigating the harm to non-target species, is that something that's sort of top of the list for you when you're looking at funding these technologies?
So when we're setting these applications and what to fund, we've got lots of funds we want to push forward on. Okay, we always want to have better, more efficient tools for controlling predators. We're also mindful that people want more and more potential alternatives to using things like toxins, because not everyone likes toxins. We're aware that we want to try and decrease non-target impacts as much as possible. And we're also aware that we want to think about animal, you know, humaneness, you know, how humane is the approach for controlling predators. And so we're really trying to push forward on all of these fronts at the same time. And that kind of informs the portfolio of tools that we fund.
What do you think the funding means for progress in these technologies and getting them out into the field and into wide distribution?
So we've been really happy with what we feel and what we see is the impact of what we're doing, because for a long time, there's always the money for the science and the research at that level. But then there never seems to be enough resourcing to take those findings and actually get them usable and applied in the field and commercially available for landscape project managers to go and buy and use themselves. And so we feel like we've filled a bit of a gap. And by doing that, it's quite incredible about how quickly we're finding new tools are coming available. It's almost like they've been a bit of a, you know, they've been backing up a bit, and they just needed this resourcing to come through now to make them flow and get them available. So we started this whole mechanism back in 2019. I think we contracted our first projects in 2020. We've now got six new tools that are already out and being used on the ground. There's about another 20 odd to come, and this is across both the two funding tranches that we've done. And we're starting to get now into also the best practice guidelines. Okay, you've got these new tools. How do you use them? And all of these we're hoping to have done by the end of 2024. So quite quickly, there's going to be a real stepping up of what we have available to use for this kind of conservation.
And is there any, I mean, I always ask this for listeners out there who are wondering about their own conservation sort of in their backyards. Sure. Is there any technology that is particularly useful to have?
I mean, for backyard control, it's an interesting one because often we're all busy people. And so we all want to do our bit to help with conservation initiatives like this. But really, you want something that's going to take care of itself. And so a lot of the developments coming are more kind of long-term automated control devices that will last for a long period of time if left unattended. We've got long life lures that go along with those. And so use lures to attract your target pest, be it a possum or a rat or a stoat, to your control device. And so we now have lure blocks, for example, that last for up to 6 months. And so you want to do something. You can put one of these in your back garden. You know that it's effective for up to 6 months without you having to worry about it. And then you can go back and check it in 6 months' time. So I think, you know, fitting into people's lives in that way is a good advance.
Can I ask, finally, I guess, you know, you're predator-free 2050. Do you think we're going to make it by then? And what does the technology mean for reaching that target?
Yeah. So I am a complete optimist, okay? I think, yeah, for sure, because we've been doing this for 6 years now. It was launched back in 2016. And I see how far we've come already in terms of getting these new tools and approaches available. I also see the great level of national support for what we're trying to do. On the whole, across the country, people are very much behind the Predator-Free 2050 mission, what we're trying to do. I mean, you know, always bearing in mind that, yes, it's killing animals, but we're trying to safeguard New Zealand's biodiversity into the future. I think we'll develop a lot of new and better ways of getting that job done. And I think if I had to bet on it, I'd say, yes, we'll have it done by 2050.
That was Professor Dan Tompkins, Science Director for Predator-Free 2050, talking with me about new funding for the Products to Projects initiative, which is developing tools to eradicate predators in New Zealand. And that's it for this week's episode of The Green Desk.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.